Welcome to the Colorado Bar Association's Modern Law Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, JP Box. I'm a lawyer turned entrepreneur, consultant, and author, and I have the pleasure of serving as the current chair of the Modern Law Practice Initiative.
And I am Erica Holmes, founder of EL Holmes Legal Solutions, modern law practice focusing on family law and attorney ethics and regulation. And I was the first chair of the CBA's Modern Law Practice Initiative.
Yes, in many ways, Erica is the founder of the modern law practice writ large throughout Colorado. So we have one of the true legal revolutionaries and pioneers here today. Now, what is modern law? It's a big term. What is it for our listeners?
Well, the most concise definition that we've come up with for modern representation or modern law is that it expands access to affordable legal services through innovative, client-driven, and cost-effective legal strategies that empower lawyers to build thriving law practices. So now that I have given a brief definition of what modern law is, JP, why don't you tell us how you got into modern representation, or MLPI?
Sure, Erica. My journey to this point was not a linear path. I started my legal career in Washington, D.C. at a big firm. And I suspected that I would be there for a long time, had designs of being partner there someday.
We're going to call this your Goldilocks journey.
Yes, this is the Goldilocks segment of my career. Like Goldilocks, I tried on for size a few different law firms, didn't find the right fit. So I started off at that big firm. 2.5 years later, I left to come back home to Denver. Coincidentally, about 2.5 years is the average tenure of a millennial in a new job. And so I was, without knowing it, right on the button there.
Being the millennial that you are.
Exactly. I'm an elder statesman of the millennial generation, just snuck into that elite club. And I joined a big firm here in Denver for about 2 years. And then my last 2 years practicing were at a small firm that actually merged into a mid-sized national law firm during my time there. So from my perspective, I tried every type of law. I was a big law lawyer, small law lawyer, mid-sized lawyer.
But not a modern lawyer.
Not a modern lawyer. I had not yet stumbled upon this new method of practicing law. So at the time, I had the mindset, there's just something about me and the law that's not meshing right now. And I disappointed a lot of folks when I walked away from law firms. I left, right after I got to a point where I was increasingly valuable to the partners, to clients. And so folks wanted to know, why are you leaving? What could we do to keep you here? And I just knew that my journey did not end there. I didn't have a great answer to those questions. So I did what all unfulfilled, dissatisfied young lawyers do. I started a merino wool kids apparel company. And have continued to run that for about 4.5, 5 years now. We've reached customers in all 50 states and over 24 countries worldwide. And I found meaningful fulfillment through my work, but I was still plagued by, why did I dedicate 10 years of my life to this profession and not find the right fit? And I wanted to answer that question just as much for those partners as for myself. And so the first part of that answer was supplied by when I casually, as one does, start studying the millennial generation. All of a sudden, I had this language and this lens that I could apply to my career and start identifying generational misunderstandings, miscommunications, different ways different folks of different generations are motivated. And I could start to answer, what does a harmonious law firm look like where Gen Xers and boomers and millennials work well together and can be productive together? And so this was my second post-law venture, helping law firms connect with their millennial associates.
And he's being modest here because in your spare time with all of this, you also wrote a book.
Thank you, Erica, The Millennial Lawyer, which kind of marches through a lot of my experiences. It's part autobiographical and it's part research into my generation and really trying to help, provide an optimistic vision for what the law could look like from a standpoint of intergenerational harmony at law firms.
And you give a shout out to MLPI.
Of course I do, because that really was the second half of the answer for me. You and I met over coffee 3-4 years ago. And, quite frankly, you kind of blew my mind with your journey and how you found this new method of practicing law that made you happy, that made you fulfilled, and, you know, allowed you to have a thriving business that was meaningful to you.
Well, and the mind-blowing went both ways, because I had read this incredible article in the Colorado Lawyer that I was quoting all the time about work-life blend, and didn't even realize I was quoting you until I met you. And so it was definitely a good match up for coffee.
And I appreciate you spreading the gospel of work-life blend far and wide, moving away from balance where we're pitting life against work and finding a way where work is an interesting, enhancing aspect of life, and we organize our lives in ways that make sense professionally and personally. So thank you for carrying that throughout the modern law practice, and you know, hopefully it'll catch on throughout the state. But that really was my journey, and having that second piece of information to say, yes, there's a generational issue at law firms, but there's also a different way to practice that's going to make it better for more lawyers, make it better for more clients. And so that's what really got me excited and involved with the Modern Law Practice Initiative.
Well, in my journey, and I'll start off by saying that I am not a millennial, so this really does apply to everyone, because I would say I'm generously a Gen Xer. So my journey began doing high-end divorces for a medium-sized firm in downtown Denver. And it was a traditional firm. My section, we had one partner and two associates, me being one of the associates. And from what I understand, it was also traditional in the way that firms work, in that I felt like I had all the responsibility, but none of the autonomy. So I carried the weight of everything that went on with my case, but at the same time wasn't able to make the big decisions.
Associates across America are nodding their heads yes to that.
And then in addition to that, working a gazillion hours, being stressed out all the time and living my life basically in 6-minute increments. And it just got to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. And so I believe I actually gave my 4-week notice, but I up and quit. And being a single girl with no backup plan, it was a little bit of a scary time. I was also struggling with the fact that I was so unhappy with what I was doing that I didn't know if it was the practice of law that I hated or if it was the law, and that I needed to now find myself a new profession. And so I did what comes naturally to me, which is I talked to everybody I know, from judges to opposing counsel that I was on cases with, trying to find out what other people's journeys were like and if there was any options out there. And that's when I discovered modern representation or modern law. So I have to start off with a caveat that I did come from this from more the bleeding heart side of things, in that when I was at the firm, what I realized, what kept me most sane, was doing the pro bono work. So I really wanted to come at this from the client perspective and do a client-centric firm. And so that's where all the concepts were coming from and how I wanted to run my practice. But the amazing thing that I discovered was that all the different aspects that I was doing for my clients had the same benefit, if not a greater benefit, for me as an attorney. And so, not to make this into a completely self-centered concept, but it really is a win-win for lawyers and clients, and if not better for lawyers than the clients. It's an amazing way of practicing law. To me, it's a utopia. And that's why I've become so passionate, is that I want to share that alternative and let lawyers know that there is an alternative way to practice law. And it's amazing. And it is modern representation.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I mean, if I were, you know, going back at my third and final law firm, gasping around, you know, is there a different way to practice? Yes, third and a half as it merged into the mid-size national one. You know, it's having that vision for a happy lawyer who has a great practice was something that I didn't see enough of. And so it's exciting for me that there is that pathway out there. What gave you the confidence to, you know, go from, you know, your safe, secure, but unfulfilling life, you know, at your old law firm to creating your own style of practice, taking this step? What gave you that confidence to go out and do it?
I would say it wasn't confidence that got me to where I am today as much as it was my unhappiness with the way that I was practicing. I never imagined having my own firm going solo. But at this point, to quote a really bad Matthew Perry movie, it's everything I never knew I always wanted. And now I can't imagine practicing law any other way besides doing modern representations. So it wasn't confidence, it was unhappiness and fear.
I love that the wisdom of Matthew Perry is propping up law firms far and wide here. And, you know, for me personally, when I came to the inflection point of, you know, am I going to start a business in merino wool, kids apparel that I have no background in? You know, I spent nights and weekends researching it for a year before I went into the partner's offices one morning and said, hey, I'm leaving to do this. For me, part of the wisdom behind it was a bumper sticker that I saw that said, at least I tried. So, you know, for me, it was, hey, at least I tried.
So our life is being run between Matthew Perry and bumper stickers.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Those little nuggets that are placed in front of us. Who knows when it's going to be the words of wisdom that changes our careers and lives. Well, so that those are our two very unique, different journeys, but we're both champions of the modern law practice movement.
Well, and unfortunately, my journey is not uncommon within the legal profession. And so being the incredible researcher and writer that you are, JP, why don't you give us a little bit more information on the state of the legal market?
Sure. And as I see the legal market, I see three big challenges that a lot of us are feeling. The first is law firm well-being. The second is lawyer well-being, and the third is client well-being. And so let's just start with the state of the legal market for law firms. Every year, my alma mater, Georgetown, along with Thomson Reuters, releases a report on the state of the legal market. And this past year, they issued what they called an urgent plea to cast off our systemic blind spots and our consensual neglect and embrace a new path forward for our profession. They pointed out that, you know, our old approaches to managing legal services, to leveraging our work, to finding clients, to working with clients, those are failing us. And they said rather than look for strategies that will push us effectively into the 21st century of the law, we're doubling down on the old, tired strategies that are no longer working. And they pointed out, you know, we are a no-growth or low-growth industry. We're not seeing the demand for legal services increase. Rather, law firms are trying to cannibalize each other's practice groups to grow because there's just not a growing pool of legal service purchasers out there for our profession. So we have that challenge there. At the same time, we have falling realization rates, which means we're doing more work for clients who are paying us less of the billable hours we charge them. And so all of these business frustrations are bubbling up within our profession and making it a challenging environment for law firms to grow and maintain their relevancy and their status in their markets. But that's not the only thing. It's lawyer well-being, which you and I have both touched upon with our journeys. Our profession is one that unfortunately is plagued by high rates of anxiety and stress, higher rates, suicide, substance abuse. We are outpacing a lot of other professions in all of those regards. In 2017, the ABA put together a national task force on lawyer well-being because of these concerns. Our very own John White, who is a member of the Modern Law Practice Initiative and is part of Colorado's Office of Attorney Regulation Council, our ethics guru, he contributed to this report, and one of their key sobering findings was this. To be a good lawyer, one has to be a healthy lawyer. Sadly, our profession is falling short when it comes to lawyer well-being. Just to put a button on this, in 2018, UCLA released a study that deemed the law to be the loneliest profession in the United States. We somehow outpaced all other professions with affirmative responses to statements such as, I feel as if nobody understands me. I feel as if I have nobody to talk to. Luckily, we have each other to talk to today. But again, our entire profession is based on the premise of partnership. And we are clearly falling short in terms of being partners and champions for each other. And so we have, you know, personal well-being challenges that are affecting our profession. And third, and perhaps most importantly, our profession is falling short when it comes to reaching the greatest number of folks who can benefit from our legal services. We have simply priced ourselves out of huge swaths. A majority of Americans cannot afford a lawyer, even if they want to hire one.
That was part of my realization when I left the firm, was I woke up one day and said, I couldn't afford to do my own divorce.
Yeah, I could never afford myself as a lawyer either. And it's, you know, it's something that's, you know, it's, there's a business opportunity there because there is a big untapped market of folks who could benefit from our services. But it's also, you know, we're doubling down on these strategies, trying to go after an increasingly small pool of clients that can actually buy into this traditional system.
Or want to buy into it at the high prices that lawyers are charging.
Right. Where's the value? And, you know, we see this again, you know, going back to the research. This is a Colorado trend and a nationwide trend. So in 2016, the ABA put together a report on the future of legal services. And they stated, quite simply, the traditional law practice model constrains innovation that would provide greater access to and enhance the delivery of legal services. And so we see it in the courts in Colorado. So looking at 2017, in over 60% of civil cases filed in county courts, parties were unrepresented. Looking at district courts, the percentage was just under 40%. So we have a lot of litigants who are going at it alone because, hey, I can never afford an attorney is their mindset. They're above the pro bono requirement line, but they're below, you know, the big companies that can actually afford a lawyer. And so we have this problem also with small businesses doing things like negotiating loans or leases or operating agreements and doing it alone or turning to legal proxy services because, again, they have the mindset, I can't find a lawyer I can afford. The good news is there actually are lawyers like that. They're called modern lawyers, and we have a real-life one, Erica, sitting in front of us today.
Now that you have completely depressed our audience with the state of the legal market.
I am the buzzkill here, sorry.
I'm going to be the happy lawyer, the happy news in the room, and say that the solution to this situation is modern law practice.
And it's been a beat since we talked about the modern law practice. What is the concise definition, again, of what that encompasses?
Well, the most concise definition that we have come up with for modern representation is that it expands access to affordable legal services through innovative, client-driven, and cost-effective legal strategies that empower lawyers to build thriving law practices. And it's very difficult to define modern representation, especially to try to do it concisely, because modern representation is an all-encompassing way of practicing the law. It is not just about cutting your fees because then you're just working hard for less money. It is about every aspect of your practice. And by changing the different aspects of your the practice, it creates the win-win situation for the lawyers and the clients. Now, we've narrowed it down to there being four main aspects of practice. And those are, we've now deemed them the four pillars of modern representation. And those four pillars are empowerment, focus, technology, and value.
And these four pillars really build upon each other and complement each other very well. And so it is this, you know, way of practicing when you combine these four pillars that, for me, when I was looking at modern law, really solidified what it is and how to do it.
And what I really want to hit on with all of that you're saying is that the four pillars are integral to the practice. You can't just do one or two. If people have tried to do that and it's not worked, that would be why. So you really need to hit the four different pillars when you are starting to do modern representation. You can implement them slowly, but make sure that you hit each one because otherwise you'll be surprised why this isn't working for you as well as it does for the other modern lawyers.
You want the utopian law practice.
Exactly.
So I'll jump into the first one, which is empowerment. And as you previewed for us, each of these has a win-win aspect, the win for the lawyer, the win for the client. So for empowerment, modern representation empowers clients to be active participants, to be partners in their legal matter. They're not on the sideline. They're not wondering, what is this scary legal thing that's happening over here? They are really brought into it to understand what's going on. And from the perspective of the lawyer, the empowerment pillar really allows lawyers to build a practice, to build a life that complements their professional goals, their personal needs, and it gives that sense of I'm in control of my life and I'm building a practice that fits me well. So if you could talk about, Erica, in your day-to-day practice, how you've empowered clients and empowered yourself as well.
From the lawyer's perspective, empowerment comes from setting up your practice the way that that works best for your lifestyle and how you want to run your firm. So it's everything from what your schedule is going to be, how many hours you want to work, what your office space looks like, whether it's traditional office space, office share. Personally, I'm a virtual lawyer and pretty much a coffee house lawyer. And that's where my clients like to meet. It's what do you wear? I actually tend to wear Pilates pants and big sweatshirts when I meet my clients. It makes them feel comfortable. And it came about in a very odd way in that I needed to pick up a document from a client and I was literally going for a run and going to run by their office and said, well, if you don't mind meeting me outside and I'm hot and sweaty, I'm happy to pick up the document. They thought that was the coolest thing. And so I'm just like, okay, well, if you think that's cool.
Lawyers are real people too.
We are real people. And actually, I mean, my clients really do enjoy that part of it in that we're working on this together, and they don't feel like I am at a different level than they are. I'm just like they are, and they feel very comfortable talking with me. It also gets into the empowerment is with the lifestyle, and this is where the work-life blend comes in, that work and life should not be at odds with each other. Therefore, when you talk about balancing against each other, that puts them on different sides of a spectrum, whereas a work-life blend is that work is enjoyable as your life, as you like to have me repeat that. For me, whether I'm working or whether I am living my life is whether it's tax deductible, whatever I'm doing, whether it's out riding my bike or serving clients. So really having your lifestyle blend with your work and your life is very empowering as an attorney. So that's a benefit for the lawyer.
And I love the notion of, building your life and your career in a way that makes most sense to you, and also removing the barriers between a lawyer and his or her client. Talking about, being the coffee house lawyer, meeting a client in a coffee house, or while you're out on a run, it removes those barriers that make it seem as if, we are kind of the Wizard of Oz. We are the all-knowing sage behind the curtain, and they're kind of wondering what's going on. It reminds me of, looking at things, from a millennial perspective. There's a movement to remove desks from the mentor-mentee relationship because that piece of furniture between them is, separating them and causing that distance. So having people sit together side by side or at a coffee shop somewhere more comfortable. And so transporting that to a client relationship as well, which is arguably the most important professional relationship a lawyer will have, is just so key. And so empowering your clients to feel, I have ownership of this legal matter, whether it's litigation or a business matter, and I'm comfortable moving forward. And I think that dovetails nicely into the second pillar, which is focus. And one of the things that I really like about what modern lawyers do is they're throwing out the one-size-fits-all approach and really making it a one-size-fits or many-sizes-fit-my-many different clients. And so offering a creative, flexible solution to meet the individual needs of an individual client. And from the lawyer perspective, something that you've talked about is focusing on practicing with a purpose. And that's different for every lawyer as well. So it's really getting into what do I want to focus on client-wise and also focus on career-wise for myself as a lawyer. So if you could hop into those two and talk about how the focus in your day-to-day practice on clients and also on yourself as a professional.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this being a very client-centric practice. You have to figure out what your clients are wanting in terms of how you're going to run their case for them, and also what the client is looking for in terms of the actual value from the attorney-client relationship. And when I'm talking about value, I'm not talking about price. I'm talking about what they getting their needs met. So for some clients, they're communicators. They need to have that continuous communication with their lawyer to understand what's going on. That's the value that you bring them as a lawyer. For other ones, it's security. Knowing that they have someone holding their hand through this process, that they're not alone. That's the value. That's the what you're going to focus on for your client and give them. Others, it's information. Information is power. And so again, it's going back to that control piece for them. So by focusing on what your client needs is the benefit from doing modern representation. And it's also in that coming up with creative solutions to their problems and offering, like I had mentioned with unbundling.
Yeah, what is unbundling? That it's something I never did when I was practicing. So what is unbundling look like for a lawyer?
So unbundling is looking at the different roles that we play as an attorney. So whether that's an advisor, whether that is a litigator, whether that's doing document review, whether it's drafting, all those different pieces, and there's many different pieces out there in terms of legal services, you break your services up for that by the different services that you are going to offer, which brings in the benefit to the lawyer in this focus part of the pillar, which is that we get to focus on practicing law again. With modern representation, you get the business aspect out of the way so that you can actually practice and focus on practicing law and doing what we all became lawyers to actually do. It also means that you get to focus your practice area in what you really want to concentrate on and what's interesting for you. So I do family law and attorney ethics and regulation. Besides never wanting my friends and family to need me as an attorney, those pretty much have nothing in common with each other. But those are what interest me. And so that's what my firm focuses on. I know other firms that do family law and immigration, and I even know one that does family law and copyright and sports contracts, because that's what how he wants to practice law.
An interesting menu of options.
And it doesn't always have to be family law is one of them, but those are the examples that I came up with. But it's also focusing on the tasks and the work that you like to do. Maybe you hate being in court, so you don't do litigation as part of your practice. You'll do the other, you know, more transactional pieces, and then you meet up with another modern lawyer that's really good at litigation. And so if your case heads that way, then you hand it off to them. And so that's the unbundling piece. And like I said, you can do that in terms of advising, drafting, hearings, document review, but you can add them all together and do full rep too. Again, it's all about coming up with the practice that works best for you, and so that you can focus on the practice of law.
And the way I look at it, I'm like an analogy person. I always need an analogy to ground myself in something. Is, you know, the traditional model is the cable company that gives you 200 channels regardless of whether you only watch 5 or 6 of them. Whereas, you know, a lot of folks want to choose, okay, these, you know, I want to unbundle my cable services. I want to buy this channel and this channel and this movie channel and this sports channel, and that's what I'm going to have. And there's still folks out there who want everything, and there are lawyers who provide everything, including modern lawyers.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's also modern lawyers who want to provide those unbundled services. And, you know, our Supreme Court, our ethics gurus in the state are pushing that as well, because it gets access to legal services out there for more and more people. The third pillar that I want to touch upon is technology. And I was recently, I had a conversation with a consultant who spent 3 decades in Silicon Valley and is now working with Big 4 accounting firms and law firms trying to modernize them from a technology and culture perspective. And I asked her, why accounting firms and law firms? And she said, because from a technology standpoint, they're about 20 years behind every other business. So they're still acting like it's 1999 in her eyes. I don't know if you think that's generous or not.
I'm thinking on the generous side.
But us as a profession, we've haven't always embraced the technology that can make our lives more efficient, deliver services in a more streamlined fashion to our clients. And so part of the modern law practice is embracing what technology can do for us to make us more efficient lawyers.
And I'd go a step farther to say that it's integral to a modern law practice is to adopt the technology.
Now, what about for folks who are not the, you know, some of us are not the most tech savvy? Can a non-tech savvy person actually implement technology into their practice in a way that makes it better?
And since we're on the podcast, I'll be telling you that JP is completely pointing at me right now because that being saying I'm non-tech savvy is being very generous. So the benefit of technology for both the lawyer and the client is that it makes everyone's life easier. When it comes to the client, they can utilize the web for marketing, for doing client intake. You're going to your website and they can fill out some forms. They can even do it from their phone. They can schedule appointments on their own. They don't have to talk to a receptionist. They can do these things online. And so they get the convenience and the connection to their lawyers immediately, which is what society is expecting from every other profession these days. They also can have access to their files 24/7 by giving them a portal, a super secure portal. But then they don't have to, when they've got some basic questions, and they don't have to be emailing or calling you.
And that saves you on nights and weekends.
Exactly. And being able to send out documents for electronic signature. You can buy a house off your phone. Like, so why can you not sign an engagement agreement or, you know, a lease from your phone? So these are really simple ways to bring technology for the benefit of the client. So for the lawyers, the benefit of technology is that it is how you become efficient, which is the basis for modern representation, is to practice law as efficiently as you can. It is based on the volume concept. So the more people that you can help, the more money that you're going to be able to make. And the way that that is done is, like, for example, with the forms that the client intake forms that they fill out online, that can go ahead and auto-populate the information in your client management system, which can then populate the templates. So you're just whipping out those documents. It also gives you the ability, technology gives you the lawyer the ability to be working when you're not working. So like I said, you give clients access to the files so that they can do those things on their own. You can sort of like create your own legal Zoom. So I can send my clients a link that they can be filling out their sworn financial statements while I'm out on a bike ride.
That is a definition of a win-win.
Exactly. You can, you know, answer simple questions for them on your website, either like frequently asked questions or on a blog. So it's utilizing technology to make everyone's life easier and more efficient. And that's the third pillar of modern representation. You want to talk about the fourth pillar?
Yes. So the fourth pillar is value. And this is the one that I think really, you know, it's the accumulation of all these three pillars and the value that we can provide as modern lawyers. And it's really about providing access to our services to a greater number of people, because we are lawyers that a larger group of people can actually afford to work with. But at the same time, it's not just about, you know, doing more for less. We are building practices that are thriving in their own right, and that are successful from a business standpoint. And so if you could talk about, you know, how you, in your practice, you provide that real meaningful value to your clients while building a profitable, thriving law practice for yourself.
Well, when it comes to value, as you said, the easiest answer, the straightforward answer, is that we're providing affordable legal services. In general, anecdotally, I can provide services for usually about the third of a cost of what a traditional lawyer is charging. So there's the obvious benefit to the client. But as you're talking about, value is much more than just the dollars. And by focusing on your client, having a client-centric practice is the true value to your clients, because they're getting their needs met, and they're happy to pay for it when they get their needs met. Having a good client experience, having a good experience with the legal system, that is the true value to the clients, and along with the not just being the affordable part. In terms of the lawyer, again, easy answer is that this is a profitable way of making money, of running a firm.
So you said that your fees may be one third as much as a traditional lawyer, but your salary is not one third as much for yourself, I would assume.
No. How much money you make as a modern lawyer is really dependent on how you want to set up your business. So, for example, I personally like to work about 50 hours a week. Well, 30 of that is actual lawyer work, and that includes, so I have figured out that I need to do 4 hours of traditional legal work a day. I need to do about 2 hours of admin a day. And then the other 20 hours of my week are spent doing business development, and I have this really bad committee habit. So about 10 hours a week is spent
We are all appreciative for your committee habit.
So about 10 hours a week is spent doing committee work. So that's where I come up with my 50 hours. I have 4 weeks of vacation every year. And I also build into that I do some pro bono or lower fee work. So that's all built into my business model to come up with the salary that I need, which is more than I was making when I was an associate. And I have done a lot of research across the country with different firms doing modern representation. And I know of one firm in Chicago that makes $500,000 to $600,000 a year doing modern representation. So again, it's really your profitability has to do with how you want to customize your firm and what you want your bottom line to look like. But the value is, again, not just about the money to the for the lawyer. It's about doing well by doing good. It's about being a happy lawyer. Tying right back into all those problems that we are trying to solve, the value of doing modern representation is that you love the law, you love your practice, you love your clients, and it is utopia.
I think that's, it's inspiring to hear that is possible. And I really love hearing the, hourly breakdown of what your week looks like, because one of the beauties of modern law is that breakdown can look differently for every individual lawyer, that we're not all, coming off a manufacturing line as the exact same lawyer. We can build our practices and build our lives in ways that inspire us and make most sense to us. So hopefully now that we've kind of walked through these four pillars, we have a lot of folks who are interested in, what is modern law? Can I be a modern lawyer?
Anyone can be a modern lawyer.
Yes, even you, pointing to random people here.
And last but not least, JP and I are happy to talk to anybody or go out for coffee and discuss the Modern Law Practice Initiative.
The best way to get a hold of us is to email us at mlpi@cobar.org. And that'll be routed to us. We would love to get more and more folks involved in this movement throughout the state of Colorado. So please reach out to us. I just want to thank you all for joining us on this inaugural episode of the Modern Law Podcast, hosted by the Colorado Bar Association. I'm JP Box.
And I'm Erica Holmes. Thank you very much for joining us.